with stories of horrible origin, redemption and friendship, and acts of reclamation. The heroes departed at Otari once more, with a renewed sense of what they protect. The heartbeat of the townsfolk in their rhythmic march towards the vaults once again. Returning to Azori and myself and the library, the heroes heard of Glastrum Dur's departure for his home, and then headed to overcome their next obstacle, the Erinis and the summoning chamber of lava. With preparation, the heroes launched an assault, Lump and Krukka flying to meet the winged devils, with Azori and Tolok flinging their spells. The foray was intense, and the final piece of the fragmented amulet nearly lost to the liquid flames. And just as victory was at hand, one of the devilish furies aimed their bow high and began to take down the ceiling in self-sacrifice and see the heroes meet their ends with her. And even I, high above, felt the vaults shake with explosive force as the lake above poured into the molten rock.
Hello, creatures and denizens of the Uncharted world. This is Freeman from Uncharted North, and I am plugging your ear holes now with a little bit of a favor to ask. We really, really could use some help on the word of mouth end of our project. We want you to go out and tell a friend about one of our shows, or possibly the potential of future shows that might be in their interests. Word of mouth is incredibly important for a small network like ours, and each and every one of you can help another listener find us by mentioning us to, I don't know, a friend, a game master, a dungeon master that you know, someone in the street. Pick a rando wearing a cool hat or a gnarly shirt or some wicked boots. Just think about what Scott might wear and pinpoint that person, and then you pretty much bet they're going to be into this. That would go such a long way for us. And we assume that some of you are already doing this because you're still listening, and that's really, really great. So we'd also like to remind those who are doing this and helping us out but have not done this yet that we have a free public Discord where most of our dedicated fans hang out with the crew and chat on a daily basis. You know, we chat about it all. We have laughs. We support each other with mental health. We just talk about gaming and different games we want to play and movies and music and whatever. We talk about all of it. You can hit that up easily through our website, unchartednorth.ca, or unchartednorth.com/discord. We'll send you straight to an invite link. And if you really like and have the ability to help us move forward in creating more shows and receiving cool rewards in return, we've been working really hard on our Patreon structure. You can go to patreon.com/unchartednorth and find what we have on offer for various tiers to become more involved, a couple little bits of paraphernalia and fun things, and goals towards the future of what other shows we want to produce, how many more we would like to produce, and so on. But that's it. We really, really appreciate you listening. We hope that you've enjoyed most of the episodes so far. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. We hope you stick around for more episodes as we push forward and do more and more fun things. I don't want to take up any more of your time, so that's it from me. Thank you very much. Love, Freeman, a.k.a. The Barn. Welcome to the reintroduction to Stemming the Tide after episode 100. Oh my god, we're finally back! How does everyone feel?
We're back, baby. Otari, what up?
101, we're back to school.
How am game played?
What do I do with Lump again? I think I trip people, right?
Just gonna slowly erase the tiny tails off these G's and turn them into Q's.
We have officially updated Foundry to the remaster content thus far. Still waiting on GM Core and Player Core 2 by this point.
Looking at you, fucking Paizo. Get on your shit.
I threw some updates out there for everyone. Was still working on some as I was going. I didn't throw them all into the Discord chat there, but it became really obvious that Scott had the most changes as I was making my progress. Holy shit.
Great.
I didn't expect that many things to have changed, even just in name. Holy, you had a long list of things.
Yeah, now all you motherfuckers can't get mad at me for not pulling out the staff of necromancy. Because it's the Staff of the Dead now, bitch.
Staff of the Dead, baby. Yeah.
Tulak's just named Phil now.
Why is he there Phil? Was so many things. I think
that's my middle name.
Your middle name's Phil? Wait,
really?
It's Philip, and I hate it.
Got some deep Scott lore out of this.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel like I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again real quick. When I was a kid, I hated it, and everyone called me Scott Buddy, so I told my parents that I wanted my middle name to be changed from Philip to Buddy, and they went out one day and came back and said that they had done it, and so for years, no I introduced way. Myself as Scott Buddy Barber, and then... when and probably for like 6 years or more. And then when I was in grade 10 and they posted our marks on the wall, it said Scott Philip Barber. And I stormed home and I kicked open the door and I was like, I'm living a lie.
Good thing you didn't overreact.
Yeah. And then my parents were like, yeah, it's a stupid fucking name.
That's the best story ever.
Yeah, listeners, we lost Cam and Freeman. So, this is going to be a minute. Just hold on to your butts. I don't think we can actually cut any of your stuff. So, just gonna.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, anyways, Philip is my name.
Wait, so you went what, like 10 years thinking your name was Scott?
Yeah, pretty close too. Yeah, that's my life. That's my origin story, okay? Guess I didn't tell that one before.
Definitely didn't. Oh my god, I'm dying.
Crying.
I like how in the Discord call for me, it's just them on the top corners, too. And on either side, they're just cackling away like fucking Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, my neck hurts. Fuck. All right, I'm good. Oh, my God. Okay, I need to wipe my face.
It's 2.5 minutes of Freeman just howling. I'm going to cut that and make it my ringtone.
I need to wipe my face, title of my sex tape.
Okay. What age range was this again?
Last week? Like, probably like... You know, late elementary, grade like 4, 5, 6 until like grade 10.
Until grade 10!
Yeah.
Wait, how old are you when you get your driver's license in Canada?
16. It was very shortly before I got my driver's license.
Okay.
Like a year before.
Just hand him his license. He's like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, fuck. Oh, geez, sweet.
How did they know?
How did you reach grade 10 without ever seeing like your middle initial on some paperwork? That's what I don't get.
I don't know, man. You don't look at that shit when you're a kid.
In North Vancouver, they spell buddy with a silent P.
Buddy.
Honestly, I really considered it a
new
few
Patreon
years ago,
goal,
but
legal
I just,
name
I just
change.
Got a tenure passport, and there's no fucking way I was turning back.
Were you going to do the buddy thing?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Nice.
Oh, sweet lord.
I'm fucking dead.
Oh, there goes my intro banter that I had planned.
That's what a way to come back from episode 100.
Yeah, you like lore?
We really kept it nice and tight and professional during that entire 100 episodes, and then just fucking right back to just, nah.
Oh my god.
3 minutes into the recording, killed Cam and Scott, or killed Cam and Freeman.
Oh, I can't even. That is one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life. For 10 years, you thought your name was Buddy.
And then just coming home and kicking open the door.
Your parents are grade A liars. Like,
well, they only had to do it once, and then I just believed it, you know? But the fact that they just let me continue believing it makes them not liars, but fucking assholes.
Scott, how young were you?
It's just like you kept initialing it with a B, and they kept like rushing in and erasing it just a little bit from a B.
How young were you when you started smoking weed? Jesus. What
the hell? Pretty close to the same time.
Oh, my head hurts.
I love the idea that your family was just like, you know what? It's time. Let's tell them about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. What about Philip? Fuck no. No go.
No, not Philip. Not Philip.
Here's
Philip
Santa
alone.
Claus, the Easter Bunny, and your birth certificate.
What a crippling day.
Yeah, I got issues.
Yeah, we all do. That's why we're here.
It sounds like your issues are mostly just your parents.
Yeah, I'd ate up a few hours of the therapist, you know?
Oh, yeah, less trauma, more just like a clerical error.
All right, Freeman, you want to steer the ship to shore? Or what?
Speaking of exploding with laughter, what about this exploding lava?
So what I was going to ask eventually once we celebrated our return, my God, Scott, I think I'm not going to laugh for the rest of the episode now. Nothing's going to be funny.
Challenge you just accepted, did. Duncan, you just laughed.
It'll be a first.
Oh, God. So what I was going to ask was when I have no segue here, but when action's happening in the game, there's a cool moment where someone gets knocked prone, or then a crit happens, or there's a shield block for defending, or some sort of will save or whatever save, and things are going down, and you can picture this little pocket in the initiative of what's happening. How do you picture it, and what format do you picture it? Do you picture it like anime style? Is it like a Game of Thrones action scene, or like a high fantasy like live action thing? How do you visualize it in your head, if you do at all, when these moments happen?
Okay, are you all familiar with a motion comic book? It's like these really beautiful stills that slowly transition into another really beautiful still. Oh, yeah. They kind of move, but they're kind of stagnant.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that. It's only words. Got him.
He already broke that. I'm not going to
bury the lead on that one.
He did.
God damn it. I was like, I know what you mean. That makes sense for James. Nope.
It's only words.
Rug pulled.
Yeah. It actually takes me quite a bit of effort to like visualize something. At least in like a picture format. For the most part, it's just like concepts, like nothing. But if I sit down and I actually picture something, I can do it. It took me a lot of work to actually develop that skill as a kid. People were just like, picture shit in your mind. I'm like, that's not how brains work.
Yeah, it is.
Turns out I'm just broken.
That actually makes sense. I feel like you've mentioned as such, not in so many words to me before, that like you don't visualize it in like, you know, like you're watching it on screen. And I remember being going, oh, really? Like I do a lot.
Yeah, I think there was a 99 PI on it a couple of months back, and we were talking about it in the Discord.
Between that and the fact that I talk to myself out loud all the time, and James, as far as I know, has no internal monologue, we're just opposite people. It's crazy.
Two sides of the same coin.
It's amazing.
Whenever I picture things, it ends up being a little bit like that song, the music video for Take On Me by Aha, where like parts of it are like super clear. Like especially like characters that I have a very good image of in my head, it is very clear on those. But like when things are happening faster, like those descriptions, it starts to like get more like sketch, like just frames rather than like fully fleshed out. And if I listen to it again, then it becomes more and more filled out. But like in the moment, it's very just like shutter frame.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of impact frames. Yeah.
I'm the same way where I see things as kind of realistic pictures in my mind, but I need to take a second to really visualize. So when Freeman is giving kind of exposition, sometimes you'll find me just kind of even closing my eyes and just trying to picture it as kind of a movie, I guess you could say. But generally, it's just the picture in my mind of the things happening. Like when we were in fighting the what was that? The huge shambling mound,
Shangri-Gal Behemoth.
Yeah. Just that scene, for some reason, I thought to be super cinematic. So I was trying to take the time and just enjoy that in my mind. But generally, it's just kind of more pictures. But good question for you. I like
But is it like artistic iterations or interpretations? Or is it like a live action scene with snippets?
Like that, like high fantasy, Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, that type of thing.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah, I think I can describe it in a way that you'll kind of appreciate, Freeman. It's like Final Fantasy VII to me. In that while we're in the middle of it, I'm like going through the character sheets and everything, like kind of in the heat of things. I see it as just kind of like you're in the menu scrolling of a turn-based JRPG, okay, kind of like that. Oh, but when I'm able to kind of think about, hey, all of these actions are like 6 seconds each, and this is all going at an incredibly fast clip, and just kind of like take a step back and really kind of analyze what we've just done and what the actions are actually like, what it would actually physically entail. It's like watching kind of Advent Children where they're all in that insane kind of like Final Fantasy VII battling. Yeah. That's how I kind of picture it.
That is cool. Cause I remember early on when I first started, being a game master or a dungeon master, I remember describing to people that, the round of an initiative is not like turn by turn by turn. It's not, no one's stopping and waiting for someone else to do something. It's all happening at once, but like on a slight curve or angle, you know, for the order of operations. And you have to sort of imagine that when you missed that attack, but then someone else hit after you, that it's because of your missed attack that the other one hit, you know. And you kind of have to like watch it all, try to imagine it all happening in a very quick succession. It's not just one turn takes 6 seconds. The whole round takes 6 seconds. So everything in that round is happening nearly at the same time. And I think that's pretty fascinating. And it's even more fascinating when you think like you could have six people in the round, and that's 1 second per person, more or less, you know, or you could have 10 people, or you could have three people or whatever it is, it's all happening in 6 seconds. So you really, when you kind of like pull that slinky of initiative order and then contract it again, like, and just imagine it all happening in the same amount of time, I find it a really fascinating way of looking at it. For myself, I switch. Mine's much more simple. I switch off and on onto like a more animated or an anime style of visualization to something more realistic, depending on the snippet that I've imagined. And so if it's very magical forward and extreme and, you know, really fantastical, I tend to imagine it in a little more animation style, where I find it more believable. So anyone who's watched a live action high magic visual, it usually looks like shit, or it looks like it's contained. It looks like it's someone's in a small room with a green screen because that's what they're doing. And it doesn't look very good, but it's easier to visualize in an animation. But if it's like a tight combat, like martial forward moment, I can visualize that in that more Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings kind of style. So I switch off and on.
I see Lump in hyper realistic, and I see Talbert as more anime. I think it also depends on the character for me at the time too.
I almost see Lump in a Alita Battle Angel kind of thing, where you have this
That 3D animated. Yeah, yeah. I see Krukka in that too, especially with the fiery axe, like just trailing behind. Like, I don't know.
And then it's got, you know, really oversized eye just coming out of their mouth.
It's okay, because this goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Trucker
always looks cool as fuck in my
opinion. That, you know, listeners, we got a lot of name changes here with the update. All my spells are all different.
Ruin my segue?
But that's you know fine. What the that's one okay. they didn't change? The one I can't fucking say. Telekinetic projectile. Only one the same.
All right, buddy.
Son of a bitch. Here I was just like, ooh, maybe I'll get something that's a little more tasty and easy for me to digest. No. Anyways.
Speaking of projectiles, how do you imagine this room exploding on you? Is it in text? Is it in a menu screen like Duncan? Is it animated? Is it live action? The one thing I can tell you for sure is that it is devastating.
We're in the pause screen debating a save scum.
I like it. Here's the deal. So I went back and forth on what I was going to do here. There was this amazing tidbit that I hinted at somewhere. Maybe it was just the Discord, maybe not on air. But the writer of this book, of book two, Vanessa Hoskins. Pretty sure it's Vanessa Hoskins.
Correct. Yep.
Thank you. She wrote some detailed research on what would happen if this lake was ever to fall into the pit of magma. And it got cut from the game. And she said on a stream a while back that that she sort of explained how much, you know, she had worked, she had done, and expressed her disappointment. And not you know, any vitriol or anything, but they were like, yeah, it had to be cut. And but it's still locked behind a legal wall in which she can't release it because she was contracted to do the work and it is Paizo's content at the end of the day. So we don't know what it would have been. But I can tell you that if you were to drip into that magma, it would be 20d6 per turn. I just rolled that real quick for 62 damage. It's brutal. I can only imagine. I did a little bit of research on what a steam explosion looks like. And it's pretty brutal. It's pretty abrupt.
Devastating?
Absolutely devastating. So here's what I'm imagining. You all know something's about to go down. I think the last things you were doing is, I think Krukka went and got the last bit of fragment from the one dead Aranis that fell into the magma. And you all started to hightail it before this Aranis, this other Aranis, started to launch her arrows at the ceiling. And the water started pouring down and you were on your way out and this massive explosion hits you all from behind. And it is hot. It is filled with rock and rubble. It is concussive, as you can imagine, and it has completely knocked you all out of reality for a moment, for a long, long moment. And I would like everyone to quickly roll me a D100.
I'm starting to like you, Baron.
Krukka, you are the first to rouse a little bit. You find yourself effectively buried, pinned to the ground. You can't really see anything. You can breathe, but you can tell the air is thin or hard to get at. What goes through Krukka's head in this moment, waking up, suddenly regaining consciousness, but unable to move, well, almost nothing of his body, because something is on him, something so heavy on every piece of him?
Not much going through his head, but panic, I would imagine, since his prodigious strength largely comes from his body, and he's going to need that thing to move to use it. So I guess it'd just start to struggle, and like, can he crane his neck at all and see anything, or is it just...
He can't. It's...
Okay.
Yeah, it's proper scary, and it should be. Shortly after, as you struggle a bit, you wiggle and you try to do this, and there's probably a certain amount of noise you make, traveling through what little air is passing through wherever you are. It rouses Izori a little bit. Izori, you find yourself in a very similar situation. Maybe not quite as pinned. You can, in fact, crane your neck a bit, but you can hear this struggling, and the rest of you is pinned quite hard. What goes through your head? What do you try to do?
Probably cast, I would think. You know, see if she can move enough to, you know, throw out a magic missile or something like that to help break the rock.
Scott's gonna
Don't
be
you mean a force barrage.
No, I do not. You can call it a force barrage if you want, but these names mean nothing and there's no value to the change. So, magic missile.
I mean, all names are made up.
Or attempt to start telekinetic projectiling shit off of her, just if she's got one free hand to do to try and free herself.
And you find yourself unable to create the proper somatic components. You find yourself unable to concentrate on the words you need to cast something elaborate. Perhaps you might choke out a couple of words if you wanted to. Or you could not.
You could probably, anyone close enough to her, could probably hear her trying to cough out the verbal components to a couple of spells, but nothing in particular.
And it isn't too long before the both of you recede back into unconsciousness.
Stop choking on that air. There's not much for to share.
That's an Ogrell style poem. I love it.
Yeah. I'm a poet and I didn't even.
Tulok, you awake to the sound of, you think, stones scraping against each other. Some sort of grinding sound, a digging sort of sound. And you are similarly pinned hard and terrifyingly so. What think you?
So Tulok, feeling the pressure of the weight on him, kind of just starts to cough a little. But as he coughs and lets out that air, just the pressure of the rocks on his body doesn't allow him to open up his lungs quite as hard. And the compression just starts getting worse, being crushed alive. So he is in full panic mode and just beginning to be short of breath just from like this pure constriction on his body. And his thought, much like Azori, his first thought is to attempt to cast, but without being able to use his limbs, he can't cast anything. He can't summon like the zombie brute to start digging him out. So just the faintest whisper he tries to get out. Is anyone alive? Help! Help!
And all you hear is the ceasing of the grinding sound and the digging sound. And as your panic continues to set in and increase, the hyperventilation takes over and you pass out. Lump, you are in no different situation. However, you feel you wake to this pressure rising off of you, as something is lifted from your chest. You have this vague, blurry sensation of rousing and seeing a little bit of light and a figure moving in and out of your blurry vision. What do you think or say?
I think before that lump, feeling crushed by all the rocks and debris, had a moment of going back into the alchemical, the flesh warping chambers, and was having a panic attack. But as the rock gets lifted, just coughs and dirt and dust and small pebbles and a broken tooth come out of Lump's two mouths as they look around, trying to blink all the dirt out of their massive eye, tear just streaking down their chin, trying to clear it. Their vision still too blurred to really see anything, just hoping that this person isn't here to finish the job.
Do you say anything?
Help. Please. My friends, they're under there.
And we'll gesture vaguely in the direction, still too stunned to really put it together.
You see this hulking, blurry image. Like, it looks massive from your perspective. It encompasses everything you can see, though you can't see anything in clarity. And you could feel this, like, it's like this mixture of dirt over the lens of your eye and water and welling up tears. And this hulking, multi-limbed creature just looms over you. And one of its limbs just comes down hard and smashes you in the head. And you're out. And slowly but surely, you wake up, each of you, in a random order, freed from your rubble prison, in different states of disrepair and injury. Everyone roll me another D100. Lump, it is you first to rouse. And you open your eye to take in what character, James?
Well, it's not the Azori that they're used to.
What?
Scoot, you're unconscious right now. Enforce my discipline.
Shut your mouth.
I'm just kidding. That was my exact reaction, too. You just beat me to it, you son of a bitch.
This character is clad in cream-colored robes that are almost opalescent when the folds touch the light. A heavy black breastplate protects their vitals, but it is so dark that it appears matte to the eye and just absorbs the light. Hanging from their waist is a large red tome, and in his right hand, hanging limply, is a simple sword with a blue iron dull blade. On his left hand, orange runes glow across his knuckles, and as your eyes move up, you see this gray furred face with drooping jowls of an otherwise leaned body, and the pulsing ice blue spiral emanating out from his scarred shut right eye. And old man Raphael stands above you.
What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Until you said the spiral over the eye,
yeah.
I legit thought that it was going to be Sammy had turned into
a... And now it's a catfolk character. Let's go.
Sammy has evolved. He reached level 25.
Raphael.
No, Noble Shuni, were you the one that retrieved me from the rubble?
Was he?
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
A hulking, multi-limbed Shuni?
Nope. Sure wasn't. Because, Lump, as you ask the question, you look around, and you see Krukka, and you see Tulok, you see no Azori.
How long have you been down here? I'm sorry, what is your name?
That is a strange question these days. A name. I suppose the one most familiar would be Raphael. To belong to this most recent form. And to answer your other question, Perhaps a day, at most, digging through the detritus. Your presence called to me.
Lump turns their head, unsure if Raphael means them in particular or the entire group, but isn't saying anything yet because they've ended up in bad situations before, and keeping their mouth shut seems like the right play at the moment.
Mouths.
Thank you. Take a camp point, Scott.
That was an anatomy correction.
That was.
That's amazing.
And is going to immediately pull the flesh off of their arm to see if the healer's kit is still in there to go help Tulok and Krukka.
As soon as you do that, Ruff levels the blade at your neck.
I'm just trying to make sure that they're okay.
What is the name of the half-elf that lies over there?
As he gestures to Tulok.
Sage Tulok.
He grunts a couple of times to himself and nods in assent as he drops the blade.
And Lump will kind of scramble over the ground, pieces of their plate mail, if it's still attached, scraping against the rocks as they land on their knees next to Tulok with kind of a heavy thud as they pull back the skin to start pulling out the supplies, reaching for burn cream and other salves to treat the wounds from the steam explosion.
And Raphael watches you closely with his one good eye, just to make sure that you are attempting to aid.
Tulok, roll me a fortitude save.
Oof. Middling. 23.
You're okay. You have staved off the Velstrak tetanus you contracted days before.
Nice. Oh. Those rusty chains.
Those rusty chains.
I mean,
on the failed attempt to actually defeat that Velstrak.
Son of a biscuit. I can't believe that was only days before.
Despite the fact that Azori is not here, though, I also need one from her, if you please.
Fortitude, you say?
A fortitude, please. Keep it secret. Keep it safe.
Okay.
Okay, I got it there. Thank you very much. But Tulok, you stir as your body overcomes more than a few traumas. I could not think of that word. God damn. A dramatic pause. Traumas?
100 eps,
nothing's changed. God damn it.
Freeman doing his best calculon.
I said I wouldn't laugh for the rest of the episode. It's just impossible.
None of us.
You rouse to see the situation. A Lump leaning over you, doing their work on trying to make sure you're okay. And this small figure in behind them. What do you do?
Tulok looks up, sees them.
Lump, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And notices the silhouette behind and kind of leans his head around.
Who's that?
Lump will help Tulok up into a reclining position. And They asked your name. I told them because they leveled a sword at me before they would let me render medical aid.
Sorry, cut this, but as far as I know, Scott, the player, they would know each other from Otari, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you're the only one. Yeah. You're the only one that would know Raphael for sure.
Sorry, does Raphael look older?
Yeah. Much older.
Tulok rubs his eyes and squints, trying to gather himself after all this fucking trauma. And so he looks over and he says, Raphael, it's me, Tulok from Otari. What are you doing here? You have aged, my Shuni friend. What has happened?
Much has happened, Sage Tulok. Many lives were led since the time this forum knew you and the day we find ourselves in. Much has happened. Your distress called to me. I could hear your soul screaming in the rubble.
Where were you?
Dead. Different.
Dead?
Somewhere else.
My friend, does Arfa know you're down here?
No one does yet. And
Tulok seems perplexed, but Raphael, is regaining.
But I am more now.
You know, his facilities, different. And he starts to look around. Where's Krukka and Azori? Are they alive?
These names, they are unfamiliar to me.
Where are the others? Lump.
He gestures to the figure kneeling in front of you.
Goddamn, got him. Lump will close their eye and reach out with their motion sense to see if they can find anyone else.
As you close your eye, you imagine, you know, this sort of... how do you picture that, actually, Cam? That's a good question based on our intro. How do you picture the motion sense?
It's a lot like Daredevil. Like, Ben Affleck's Daredevil was shit.
Just thinking of Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
That was a very much like how I kind of picture it. Like, I know it's echolocation, but like...
Yeah. This is like... There's like X-ray outline almost of everything happening around you. Yeah.
And we might be getting it again.
Another what? Ben Affleck one?
Yeah, he's rumored to be in Deadpool 3. Jennifer Garner's already confirmed.
No way.
That'd be fucking hilarious.
I mean, I'll watch it because I hate myself. But but no, you imagine you have this different visualization suddenly of like what your space around you and like the hallway. I obviously don't have this on the map itself, but the hallway is just destroyed. You're somewhere closer to that sort of middle room, the circle where, you know, you have the sort of the foot of the gauntlet, in that round sort of central chamber to the hallways on this floor, and everything to that eastern side is just blown apart. Where you saw the sort of room with the creature waiting, where you saw the room towards where you met Jack with the one-way mirror or like wall, and then where you saw the where you were just fighting the Aaron is like everything is blown apart and just covered in rubble and completely inaccessible. And you just try your best to sense any movement, and there is absolutely nothing, just stillness all around. You imagine even every single vermin that might have dared to tread this place has said, nope, I'll come back later.
For the life of me, I can't understand why they would detonate their own living area like that. Surely they would perish on this plane themselves unless they were summoned. But I believe they've been called or gated, so... They sent their own immortal souls to nothingness. And they chose that to in an attempt to kill us? Like, what does that mean for their contracts as well? Were they limited to just this floor and now because the roof is gone, their floor is not this and Lump will just kind of sit down, spiraling a little bit, trying to comprehend that level of self-destruction. Like, they have a death wish, but this is a new level. The stakes have escalated.
Tulok's eyes widen as he hears Lump kind of talking about this, and he goes, Lump, forget about them. Where are the others? We have to find them. And Tulok will cast Raise Undead and will just a zombie brute comes out from the corner. And Tulok slowly begins to turn and rather feebly start to pull at some of the rock. And the zombie brute just starts peeling rocks away.
Just to point out that it was actually Animate Dead, not Raise Undead. And it was changed to Summon Undead. So you managed to fuck it up twice.
Suck it. I'm trying to do it from memory, okay?
Telekinetic projectile.
I'm glad
you're doing great, Scott.
You tentacular arms.
You just changed it to the wrong thing.
Hey, we're all learning.
No, but anyways. So is Krukka not in here with us? Am I understanding that correctly?
No, Krukka's there too. Just
he's over in the corner. Yeah, just like,
over the corner.
Oh. Sorry, I thought that Krukka and Azori were
no,
there.
No, I said you all, and then I said Azori's not there. Yeah.
He's dreaming of a stormlit night and a scream over some storm-lashed seas and there possibly some waves lapping over him and a sneaky cigarette-smoking fiend running away, slithering away like a snake in the grass.
God.
It's a metaphor.
Actually, Krukka never met that character, so...
Yeah, no, it's a snake in the grass. It's just a metaphor. Okay.
It's a twins thing. It's a twins thing. It's a Krukka and Krukka twins thing.
Oh, yeah. No, okay, sure. I'll bite that. I'll bite that.
Clever over here. Little hero point, you know.
Yeah. But yeah, so Lump will hear Krukka murmuring about that shifty son of a bitch and go over and start patching up Krukka. It's okay. They can't hurt you. Whoever they are, they can't hurt you. I mean, it sounds like they're really cool and a badass and probably really awesome, but...
No, they sound like they suck.
They do sound like they suck. They sound like they suck a lot.
And Krukka starts awake. Oh, my God. But, Lump, well, thank you for touching me while I sleep.
And Lump just punches you in the face back to fucking sleep.
Just knocks you out.
No. Lump would never say, I'm sorry, I normally ask before I do, but you seemed unconscious and...
Okay, well, getting to his feet, Krukka notices a grizzled, one-eyed Shuni over in the corner. What? Where are we? What's happened? Are they dead?
Well, we haven't found Azori yet. That Shuni over there seems to know Tulok. And, at the moment, we're just kind of putting ourselves back together and taking a couple deep breaths.
And Tulok is not paying attention and is still digging with the zombie brute.
Yeah.
Did I have that right, Mr. Shuni? Raphael, that you know Tulok?
Yes. Yes, Tulok is familiar to me.
I see. And how did you find your way down here? If I may ask. Not that I don't appreciate the assistance.
I am unsure. Things are still difficult to place in an orderly time.
And Lump, seeing Raphael getting kind of stuck in a loop, is going to just gently kneel down in front of the Shuni and just look the pugnacious creature in the face and just kind of take in everything that's going on here.
offering a soft, gentle smile, waiting for them to come out of it.
He always appears to be looking past you, even when he's looking
thousand-yard stare
at you. And you know, yeah, you know that he's talking to you, but it just, it never feels like he's addressing you. And he does finally pull himself out of the spiral. There is something to this place. Something that must be done here. Something that I had a hand in. Glass colors. Death. So much is unclear. But being here with you, the three of you, that feels clear. Solid. Familiar.
I see. Well, how long has it been since you found us and we awoke?
Hours. Days. Hours.
Lump just nods. Very well. And is going to go ahead and just start patching everybody up. And say some quick prayers to their pantheon and see if they still have a connection.
Certainly. Of course.
Crocker just checked himself. He grabbed that last piece of the talisman before shit blew up, right? And it remained with him the whole time?
Yeah.
So he just kind of holds it out, like, well, where do we go but Tulok forward?
Doesn't understand why no one is helping him dig, and but isn't paying attention, and has used the feat Bonds of Death to summon a second zombie brute, and literally the three of them are digging, like, his hands are getting cut and starting to bleed and blister as he's pulling away these stones because he thinks that Azori is down there. And while everyone else is having this conversation, he is frantically digging.
Raphael will walk up behind you and put a paw on the small of your back. That's as close as he can get to your shoulder.
And he continues to dig. Not even noticing.
Tulok
continues to dig.
Tulok continues to dig. Finally just bodily picks you up.
What?
Tulok!
What? Help!
She's not here. She's not here. I would sense her. She is not here. She is not within 30 feet of us. We are in this small area.
Then we don't have time to bring her back.
Friend.
Please.
I.
Not another. Please.
And Lump will just look at you with as much kindness as they can portray with their grotesque, melted, warped face. We're doing everything that we can. But cutting yourself to shreds is not going to bring her back faster. We need to take stock. We are doing something. We are taking stock of what we can do to help her.
And Tulok's eyes are welling up with tears.
You are doing the best that you can. And we need to make sure that we are the best that we can be before we go back out there. Because for all we know, they're preparing to attack us again. And if we're dead, we cannot help her. We will find her. We will search this entire place. We will tear down every brick if we have to. We need to make sure that we're ready first.
Raphael's one good eye just erupts with this ice blue magical energy. And a different voice comes out of his mouth. There is no one else in there.
And Tulok's eyes move from Lump to Raphael. And he blinks through the tears. What do you mean? Where is she? What do you know?
I know. There is nothing living left in that rough detritus. I know so much, Tulok. So very much.
And seeing the honesty and seeing the wisdom, I guess, of this young Shuni turned old, Tulok exhales and body goes from coiled up to limp.
Breathe, my old friend. My new friend. Breathe. We will move forward. On with your task. I would not be here if it was not important.
You just don't know how much we've lost.
No. But I know loss.
I see in your face that you do. It's a look I don't recognize on you. But I know it to be true.
It may not be Raphael's look. I am many to look.
What happened to you, my friend?
Death. I swam my way through the boneyard. Gave my essence to Pharasma as it was meant to be. But like a small fish plucked from the large ocean, I was moved, taken from my course, and set back here in Otari. We have much to do and little time to accomplish it. The Shaika demands results.
Tulok exhales again and nods. Yes. And pushes himself to his feet. What must we do? How many of the pendants do we have?
Four.
Is that all of them?
This is it.
I only have four in my arm. And Lump will pull them out.
Krekka holds out his...
Thank you.
In the back of his mind, he has no idea how magic works, so he's pretty sure Azori just dimension-doored into a small dog at the last second. But he's just going along with things.
Lump will reach out a hand to Krekka to take the last bit of the shard.
Sorry, just for that, we didn't really go down this way, but I love the idea of like how many we have. Four. And then Krekka's like, five?
Yeah, you just see him doing just the math and he's like, one.
Oh,
two,
three. I got one, by the way. Because it was such a ridiculous scenario. Like, he just, but you had the, but Krekka had fly on, and if I recall correctly, you flew down to grab it before the Aranis like sunk into the magma. It was like super last minute.
Oh yeah, superhero shit. Wait, what would have happened if that thing fell in the magma? Would we have been kind of fucked?
Yup.
Pretty much. I had a spell to deal with it.
Okay.
You ever heard of a spell called Phoenix Ward? Freeman?
I have not, actually.
Oh, I was ready. I wasn't going to let this happen. Oh,
okay. Here you go. Sweet.
You raise a fiery shield around yourself, gaining resistance 10 to fire. If you take fire damage that would reduce you to 0 hit points, the Phoenix Ward absorbs any damage beyond the amount that would bring you to 1 hit point. The ward then heals you in a brilliant display of flames in the shape of a Phoenix Wings enveloping you in light. You regain hit points equal to 48 plus the absorbed damage.
Holy crap.
Damn.
Yeah.
Let us know beforehand, because Krukka was just going to go in and have to get fucking fished out like one of those fuckers from Pompeii.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I was positive you were going to say mending.
Don't worry, I can fix this with a cantrip. It's going to take me 10 minutes to cast.
Just got to fish all that liquid metal out of the magma.
Easy, easy. Aw. Spilled it everywhere.
Okay, so we've got all five pieces. Should we make our way to the magic door?
Well, you're in the roughest shape possible, so I might recommend a rest at least.
No, one HP healing is all you need.
I've been trying to heal us with these medicine checks, and Freeman's like, no!
No, no medicine. Yeah, I saw some of that. We don't have to go through the old let's roll everything kind of scenario, but let's just assume you definitely need a big long rest. And then we can hand wave the whole thing. Question is, where do you want to do it? When do you want to do it?
Do we know about this teleportation
circle? We have unlocked it.
Let's teleport.
I mean, we could just bamf our way back to Otari and rest in actual beds. I'm sure you guys would like some fresh air in your lungs after all that dust and rock.
Yeah, it's funny because we literally just came from Otari right before this fight, right? No. We totally can.
I'm just wondering.
No, what absolutely.
Your characters would want. Maybe not.
Yeah, you did. You don't know how long you've been gone from Otari, but yeah, the last thing you did was.
Tulok definitely wants to go back to Otari, but I'm just saying it's like they came in, had like a minute and a half worth of fighting in real time, and then got crushed to bits.
Like prepped up like bosses, went in there, wrecked the place, and they got exploded.
It feels like it's been like 2.5-3 months or so.
Okay, so Tulok says, come this way. Let's take the teleportation circle up. Back to Otari. We need rest. We need to figure out how to get through. We need to find Azori, but we need strength. You're right. You're right. And he walks towards the teleportation circle.
And Lump follows.
So, little housekeeping. Lump, I'm sorry, but you no longer have the hat of disguise, but you have a masquerade scarf.
Oh, lovely.
You have to say it like that every time, though.
Masquerade scarf.
Which I think
scarf
is much cooler, personally, because I always thought the dumbest thing about the hat of disguise is that you're wearing some fucking stupid hat all the time.
Yeah. Versus a scarf.
Yeah, a scarf's versatile. You can wear it in any weather.
A belt? Yeah. Mm.
The laundry list of changes on your character.
Yeah, my gloves
so
are a belt.
I just your gloves are now a belt. Your hat's now a scarf. Like, it's ridiculous. So good.
Wait, what's a belt?
The gloves of storing. The gloves of storing are now a retrieval belt. Yeah.
Oh wow, so you're like Indiana Jones fucking beltmaster it back to you. That's awesome.
The wand that you never quite learned the name for also changed.
Oh,
Scott?
I knew the name was Manifold Missile this whole time, but I'd like to call it the Machine Gun.
The Machine Gun?
The Machine Gun, yeah. It's now the Wand of Shardstorm.
Oh, that's way less cool.
That's actually a cool name.
It is pretty cool, yeah. All right, so you head back to Latown. Head back to town with Sal in tow.
Yep.
Thanks to the masquerade scarf. So good. And as you teleport up to level 2 and make your way to the surface and out through the fog fen and through the forest and out into the opening towards the cliff that surrounds Otari, you find yourself, as usual, coming along the path past the Stone Ring Pond. and there is a few druids hanging out there, and sure enough, Whirlwind sees you coming and scurries along the path to meet you with a concerned look on their face.
Whirlwind, what is it?
Master Tulaka, I'm so glad you're safe. It hasn't been long, but there's been a development.
What? What's happened? Tell me now.
You don't know. It's nothing to do with what happened while you were down there. Look.
And they point to the gauntlet. And for the first time, everyone other than Raphael sees the glow in the lighthouse.
Oh, shit.
The town's been sitting on it for about a day, wondering what was happening.
The graveyard, Whirlwind.
It's secure. It's the same little dalliance as the first time, as far as I can tell. We talked to Rin, and she said as much. The first time she saw it, it's similar to that. Maybe a little bit brighter. But we don't know what started it. We were hoping that maybe you would know.
Not that I can think of. We've taken too long. I knew we took too long, and we should have been going faster.
And he starts to look panicked.
Oh, Tulaka is breaking, and I love it. Oh, God.
You have defeated this menace before. We shall do so again.
Raphael, we haven't defeated anything. All of her generals are still alive. We've killed minions. We've moved down, but we have done nothing to stop this. We need to prepare. We need to prepare. We need to prepare. We need to prepare.
Yes, we do. But you have done much. And before the last time, you did not have the many on your side. We will overcome this, all of us. But now is not the time to panic, to be overwhelmed. You are smart. You are powerful. And we will defeat the Horvex. This is my purpose.
Tulak is breathing deeply, but his manic kind of episode, or the breathing, panic breathing, starts to subside, taking deep breaths, and he begins to regain his composure and kind of blushes a little, realizing, you know, that he kind of lost it for a second there, and swallows deep, nods, and says, okay, we must prepare. Raphael, if you have knowledge, please, please share it. Let's continue.
Yeah, what knowledge does Raphael have at this point?
Yeah, Barn.
Raphael's memory will not slowly, reasonably quickly, but with, you know, with some spreading out, he'll remember everything that happened before he left.
He has a condition known as Deus Ex Machina.
He'll remember everything that happened before he left for Absalom. He'll remember arriving in Absalom. He'll remember, but he won't remember a lot of the details that happened in the Fore Logos. He won't remember what happened in episode 100, effectively. But he does remember waking up with a purpose, and a purpose given by two entities. One of them right now is the many, as he has stated. And the other is very much his original deity for asthma. And he knows it. But he's not able to, so far as James has roleplayed it, not able to communicate it clearly. Because it is very muddled. He's very new to re-life. Reincarnation, returned soul, or what have you.
Yeah, and there's about a thousand souls shoved into his body at this point.
He's experiencing something through a tremendous amount of time at all times. And it is muddling his focus. But his focus ought to return soon. With a tremendous amount of detail of all the things invading his mind, but he'll at least understand and remember himself, what's happening, and why he's here. But for now, it is purpose-oriented, as James has role-played it.
Credits. Raphael, the last airbender.
It's also got to be pretty tough to maintain a 1,000-yard stare as a being with the depth perception of a dog with one eye.
So, if you guys want, I can give you a little insight into the build. And that is not mechanic, but related to his archetype.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
So that 1,000-yard stare isn't so much a 1,000-yard stare, so much as him seeing all times, all the time, all at once.
Ooh. Like the movie?
4D puppy.
I don't know. I never saw the movie.
You're talking about everything everywhere all at once or whatever?
Oh.
I'm thinking more like the Matrix Revolutions.
But yeah, there is a very big something changed within him, obviously. There's a very purposeful reason why James is role-playing it this way. And I love it.
I'm glad you see it, because I wasn't sure if some of that stuff was going to get missed.
Oh, I see.
So
it.
I'm glad you guys it'll become clear
soon. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You're in town. You're going to rest.
It can be real easy to get some sleep now.
Do you go anywhere in particular first, or you just go to bed down and try to recover? What's the deal? What's the plan? You must be unbelievably exhausted.
Yes, but I think that Tulok's first order of business would be checking in with Menhemes or Rin or some of the Long Saddle.
I'll give you enough energy to choose one before you desperately need some sleep.
Does he see a guard?
You know that there's definitely guards. Occasionally there's one that might travel along the road outside of town. But you know there's plenty stationed at the graveyard, and certainly you'll see some should you enter town.
Though they've had their rocky history since the night of the full moon, Tulok thinks that he would like to get in touch with Longsaddle first, actually. Surprisingly enough. So if he sees a guard as they're basically limping into town, mm-hmm. he says, "Hey, come here.
Right, Master Tulok, good to see you. Oh, look, you look a bit rough there. Holy Jesus.
Listen to me.
You need a bit of help.
Listen to me.
I can be a crutch for you.
It is important. Oh, yeah. Listen. Now, give me Longsaddle. Okay. Send him to my caravan. Right. With all haste.
Right.
Oh, right now. Okay. See ya. And he runs off.
And Tulok will.
Duncan.
Carries on that way.
Duncan, try not to laugh. Sorry. So you head back to your caravan then.
And then on the way, Tulok will turn to everyone and say, "We must rest for whatever's coming. You are right. Sal, there's room for you if you need it. If not, I know you can get room at Tamley. Raphael, I don't know what you're doing. Krekka, anyone. We can stick together if we need to. If not, just let me know where you're going. And we can get this sorted out."
Yeah, Krekka, having not seen the light the first time, but having come in and seen the aftermath of the first attack, is just kind of... I mean, he's not sure what to expect, but he knows the seriousness and the I don't know. The somberness of this kind of moment, and just kind of takes a second and looks at the others and says, I will go home. I will see you in the morning. And heft his axe on his back and just kind of stroll towards the woods, trying to center himself as much as possible.
I'm pretty sure you've technically seen the light before, but only when it
blasted. Oh, yeah, he saw the light.
That was part of your intro, was like, he got annoyed by the light and then the noise.
Yeah, I saw the light, but he...
Like the cranky old man, he came in to like, all right, let's shut the shit up.
Yeah. But he didn't like, he wasn't in the midst of the full attack the first time. Right. And he didn't see the panic amongst the townspeople and stuff. So sure. It's just kind of like a different, like the starkness of the light on that, like that eerie kind of calm before the storm with the light in the sky and everybody just kind of on edge. I think he's still just kind of like trying to take whatever zen he can get before the inevitable violence.
Ready for a little another reclusive moment while it's available.
Tulok is just remembering like family members being attacked by the undead versions of their risen family members and friends and neighbors. And it's not good for the old psyche.
Lump, you're standing there. Tulok's ready to bed down, but talk with Longsaddle. Krukka's going back to home in the woods. That leaves you with this new incarnation or some such of a creature you've heard about, but doesn't stand up to the creature you heard about. And you are in disguise. What do you think? What do you feel? What do you do?
Raphael. Do you drink?
I seem to remember being fond of it in a life or two.
Would you like to get a beer?
First, I would like to see the graveyard.
Yes, I'm not super familiar with it, but I see it in the distance, the Dawnflower Temple, so maybe it's that way?
I can take you. It was the site of the last place I drew blood in Otari. The last time Tulok and I fought side by side. And it is happening again.
What? Now?
Episode 11, listeners. The first wave.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's been so long. I actually forgot for a second that Arthur was in the party for a minute there.
You mean Raphael?
Raphael.
Welcome to me at episode 100, where I just fucked it up all the time. Ruff was very short-lived. Ruff was very short-lived in the campaign. Until now!
Yes, I'm down to follow along. I could use a stroll.
So Ruff will take him up the cliffside by the Dawnflower and just stroll through the graveyard, make sure the soil hasn't been overturned since the last time he was there, and just take stock, see the guards, make sure they're in their right places, that kind of thing. Just want to make sure that they're as ready as they possibly can be.
So what happened in the graveyard? I know that Tulok has been stressing something happening, but hasn't really given me much details other than a beam fired.
That beam raised the fallen. Crawled right out of their graves and distracted us. While another creature took to the battlefield and nearly killed me and Physic. 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 The slouch. The name rings true. The memories, the face, they are gone. I know he was a friend. We shed blood and shed blood side by side. As will you and I. very soon. And he looks up at the lighthouse.
And Lump follows the little pug's gaze off into the distance.
And that's what we're going to call it.
Nah. A rare James outro.
Hell yeah, that's what we're going to call it. Why not?
It was a good cinematic moment. I like it.
Oh, yep. It's beautiful.
Yeah, you're not the boss really. Anymore.
This is what happens when you let me play a deity.
Okay, thanks everyone. Thanks, listeners. Getting back into Stemming the Tide after episode 100. Oh my god. Oh my god.
Stemming the Tide is an actual play podcast of the Adventure Path Abomination Vaults and is produced by the Uncharted North Network. Stemming the Tide uses trademarks and or copyrights owned by Paizo Inc., used under Paizo's community use policy. We are expressly prohibited from charging you to use or access this content. Stemming the Tide is not published, endorsed, or specifically approved by Paizo. For more information about Paizo Inc. and Paizo products, visit Paizo.com. Music is composed by Will Savino and artwork by Greyhood. Stemming the Tide is recorded remotely using Foundry Virtual Tabletop. If you wish to connect with us or support this project and projects to come, we can be found at unchartednorth.ca, patreon.com/unchartednorth, and on all major social media platforms. Links to all credits can be found in the episode description and our website. Thanks for tuning in.